Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
A new week. Here we go. And we start with some good news and some bad news. Obviously, first, the good. And two of our area's star runners are in the studio. And a certain young lady is off to the West Indies, representing Team England, no less. So we'll chat about that. Now for the bad news. Yes, you've guessed it. Tony Smith's back. Yes, he's been let loose out of the clinic. The Anton Deck's gone in. Tony Smith's come out. But he's back. And after a week of rain, the sun came out just in time to save most of the local cricket. And, of course, down in London, Nottinghamshire won a trophy. Ernie Clark was there, and he tells us all about that innings in a few minutes' time. And we talked to Peter Davis about the Farndon Fun Run, which is happening tomorrow night. But as ever, first off, it's time for this. And it's our pocket rocket that makes the headlines. On Saturday, she was at the iconic Eton Dorney for the Super Tri High Performance Triathlon, a national qualifying event. And after a 200-metre open water swim, a 5.6k bike ride and an 1,800-metre run, our young star crossed the line in second place and first East Midlands girl. Roll on the Nationals, we just await that confirmation. And staying on the subjects of triathlons, four Newark Striders took part in the Hokum Outlaw event in Norfolk. Tom Marshall was the first orange shirt home, followed by Dan Stevens, Matt Silk and Andy Gardner. And Tom is on Wednesday night's show to tell us all about it.
This is Radio Newark Sport.
And making the other headlines today is Andy Murray, and he's safely through into round two at Wimbledon. 6-1, 6-4, 6-2 against the qualifier. Nadal and Kvitova also through, and as you just heard, Joanna Konta has also progressed into round two. Laura Robson, though, is on the way home, beaten in straight sets. And Geraint Thomas retains the overall lead in the Tour de France after stage three. And the All Blacks v the Lions. Why you were sort of cooped up in the Isle of Wight? Did you sort of get to anything like news?
Yes.
So you would have seen the All Blacks and the Lions.
I saw the All Blacks on in a bar on Sandown Pier in the Isle of Wight.
I mean, is this just me? But you know, this fantastic victory that we had over them. They had a player sent off after 25 minutes.
Yeah, but
they played two-thirds of the match with their star man watching from the changing room.
The trouble is they had 14...
And we only just beat them in the last 3 minutes. It's not that spectacular.
The trouble is they had 14 other All Blacks.
Yeah, you know. What worries me is this weekend when it's 15 against 15 again.
I think it's swung in our favour.
Right.
Definitely.
I'll remind you that on Monday.
No, it's honestly, I think it's going to be a 2-1 win.
Can you get 2-1 in rugby?
It's a three-match series.
Well, you got five for a try. Anyway, welcome back, Mr. Smith.
Thank you.
I have missed you.
Thanks. I've missed you.
As the great magician said, not a lot, but I have missed you. Where have you been?
Went to the Isle of Wight.
Why?
It was our 32nd wedding anniversary.
I tell you what, she deserves a medal. She really does deserve a medal.
When it was our silver wedding anniversary, that's what the girls put in the advertiser.
Well, I mean, you know, working for the advertiser and married to you. Our poor lady.
She's definitely going to heaven.
She must be.
There is a follow-up line, which I'm not going to use.
No, I wouldn't either.
But we had a contretemps, because our wedding anniversary fell on the Thursday.
Now, can I just stop you there? There are two wonderful youngsters in this studio, and if you're going to get all romantic...
No, not at all.
I need to take these two out.
No, not, it's the opposite side of romantic. Basically, it was our wedding anniversary...
What do you mean, marriage?
It was our wedding anniversary on the Thursday. On Tuesday and Wednesday in the Isle of Wight, it was 34 degrees centigrade, and Lucy spent the entire anniversary day in bed with sunstroke, and she said to me, just because I'm ill doesn't mean you can't go out and celebrate for us.
So you went to the pub?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a shock.
And when I got back 8 hours later, having drunk my own body weight in lager, I got into bother for some reason. After 32 years, I still can't understand women.
They don't just don't understand you, did they, Tony?
That's my trouble. I think my wife does understand me.
Yeah, I wish I could understand you.
So, good holes.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And, but it's very, very good to be back because I missed the show and I missed my umpiring because the Saturday while I was away, from 1 o'clock onwards, apparently I was a pain in the neck saying, I wonder how they're doing now. I wonder, you know.
Well, York didn't miss you, the one.
Yeah. Despite my lack of help. Yeah. Despite me being the leading wicket taker at the club.
Oh, dear, oh, dear.
Well, while you're away, Wimbledon has started.
Mm.
You've missed Claire Haytree last week, talking all things Andy Murray. So you'd have you missed that one.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to do any good because he's injured. Quite frankly, he's injured. He was hobbling around yesterday, and even today you could tell that he's got a problem with that hip, and he's all right against the qualifier, but when it gets to the big boys, I think if there's any other tournament, he wouldn't have even...
He'd have pulled out.
He'd have pulled out of it.
Yeah.
Any other tournament, but...
But if he wins this year, he equals the British record of Fred Perry of 3 victories at Wimbledon.
You see, you've still been reading, haven't you?
Well, the thing is, my job situation has changed. I now don't start until 1 o'clock. And so it gave me the chance this morning to watch the Wimbledon build-up between 11:30 on BBC Two and 1 o'clock.
So what was Fred Perry's other sport that he was very good at? He was actually an international at before he took up tennis.
Croquet?
Table tennis.
Ah. But I watched the programme this morning and watched Andy Murray warming up ahead of his 1 o'clock kickoff, and he looked pretty loose to me.
Hi, if Tony's tipping the Lions, we better get some money on the All Blacks, says the president of Newark Athletic Club. Well, you never was a good judge of sport, was you?
No, sadly not.
Two youngsters who are a very, very good judge of sport are in the studio with us tonight, and it's a long time since I've had a catch-up with them, and 2017 for both of them has been good. Very good.
Mm.
Unbelievable. Fantastic, whichever words you want to use. Anna and Ben, hello. Welcome back to Radio Newark, both of you.
Hello.
Question one, where do you put all these medals? The house must be full of medals that you two are winning.
I just have some of them in my room. I have a kind of rack to hold them up on, and then I have, they're like my favourites, and then have some like, and then I just have a couple.
Do you polish them, or is that mum's job?
No, I don't polish them.
don't do that. Ben, do you keep your medals anywhere, Andy, or do you just sort of do the man thing and throw them in a drawer somewhere and move on?
I just put them on top of my bookcase, really. I just lay them all on top of each other, really.
Does brother and sister get on well then together, or do brother and sister... Oh, it's going back to sister. Oh, you can see that one. Or do you fight a lot? Or when it comes to athletics, are you helping each other?
I think we do get on quite well because I think we go through the same things when we compete, especially when we compete. And I think it's almost quite useful to have someone that does the same thing as you when you're trying to get through a race or training or something. I think we do get on quite well. We are a bit competitive at times, a few training runs when we try to beat each other. But he always sees me coming and then it makes him go even faster. So, because he doesn't want to get beaten by me.
Well, no, of course not. Is that right, Ben? You don't want to get beaten by your sister, do you?
No.
Just so everybody knows out there, Anna, you are 15?
I'm 15.
You're 15, and Ben?
14.
And Ben's 14.
14, yeah.
For the ones of you that haven't seen these two, or haven't seen my photos of these two, we've been trying to work out before the show started what Ben is actually on at the moment, because he's sort of growing. And he's growing big time. Ben, you've put some height on this year, mate.
Yeah, I don't know. It's in the last couple of months I've just shot up, really.
Yep,
I'm still not massive. Don't get me wrong, I'm not massive, but I was small, and so now I'm average.
I think you're getting quite tall. Yours last time I saw you, yours a boy. He's a young man now, isn't he? Height wise, and the way he's reacting. Ben, what do you think to your sister being chosen for to be an England international? Are you proud of your sister, or are you, you know, is it, oh, that's my sister, that's okay?
I'm proud of it. It's annoying because one, I can't go to the harvest, and two she was trying on all the kit yesterday, and I was trying it on. It fit me all perfectly, and I loved it. She gets a suitcase and a USB charger and all. It's just a load of mad stuff. But yeah, it's really exciting. Anyway,
I did mention when the family walked in here at 7 o'clock if there was going to the Bahamas or not, and we'll talk about this a bit more at half past seven when we sit down to talk to them long time. But Ben's not going to the Bahamas.
No.
Oh, it's on the plus side. He's got the run of the house because there's no big sister there.
Yeah. And I get money for looking after my little sister as well.
There you can't go wrong, can you?
Yeah. Well, it's either spend. Mum and Dad spend £2,000 or so, like, going to Bahamas, or actually just, like, literally, like, a few days later go to Switzerland, so it's not too bad.
You're not doing bad out of it, are you? And are you back in time to go to the family holiday, or do you miss the family holiday?
I get back about 3 days before we leave, something like that, so it's not long. I think I get back on the Tuesday, early on the Tuesday. And then we leave on a Saturday or something like that.
That's perfect timing.
It's a hard life unless you're waking into it.
it's absolutely terrible. Anyway, we're going to have a long chat with these two at half past seven. Really, I want to look back 2017 because I've made a few notes, if I can find these few notes that I made. What you've been up to. January, gold and silver medals in the Notts Games. March, cross-country events, national schools in Wales, 1500 metres in April, double Notts champion in May, both of you winning gold in June. I mean, it's a year so far that is just, I'm not saying it's come out of the blue, because it hasn't, because there's a lot of hard work gone into it, but everything they touch has turned to gold, and there's just one hiccup, wasn't there, when you wasn't very well.
Yeah.
Was that across country?
At the nationals,
one
yeah.
Minor hiccup in the whole of that for both of you, really.
Yeah.
So it's been an absolutely fantastic 2017. And Dad's here as well. And you and the wife, Jeremy, must be so proud of both of them.
Yeah, incredibly. Ben's been brilliant. He's worked really hard this year. Some lads are growing faster than him. Clearly, he's catching up now. But he's just trained dead hard. He's won races, track and cross country. His attitude to training is fantastic, and that makes a big difference. And Anna, yeah, I'm incredibly proud to represent your country. It's just the greatest honour. And I think this isn't just, with the greatest respect, I mean, she represented England in Wales earlier this year in the Home Nations cross country. That was a big thing. It was her first England vest. I think then to go Commonwealth and to, you know, be racing Canada, Australia, Uganda, you know, Kenya, you know, these are just, this is another league, quite literally another league. So I'm incredibly proud of her, but I'm just really proud of both of them because their attitude to training, both of them, and they do get on well in training. They do help each other. They do chase each other. So yeah, I'm a lucky dad.
You most certainly are, but these things don't come by luck, they come by hard work, and we're going to find out in about 10 minutes time all about 2017. So both of you's got to get your memories working, because I'm going to take you right back to January. Something that you'll probably, we're going to talk cricket now for a couple of minutes, and as I explain every time we do this, we ask, it's still here, Tony, it hasn't gone.
No.
We ask for summer music to do the cricket report. We asked the producer for summer music. This is his version of summer music. Trust me, you can't get the staff. You really can't. Anyway, the Summer Music Cricket Report. And the Newark R&M bandwagon rolls on with 18 points from a tricky away match at fourth place, Sutton Bonington. Only tricky because he was back umpiring. Peter Foster and Steve Kennywell both took 3 wickets as the home side crawled to 127 for 9 off 40 overs. I bet that was riveting.
No.
At 35 for 5 in reply, it looked like a second defeat of the season was on the cards. But Joe Murphy, 41, and Jake Harding, 38, saw their side home. Oliver Dyson, it's 76, as Collingham reached 202 for 9. But with the Dalefield wicket drying out all the time in a lovely afternoon sunshine, Beaver passed that total with 8 balls and 4 wickets to spare. Pick of the bowlers, our cricket correspondent David Pipes, 4 for 65. We won't mention his batting though. I was there and I saw the shot he played when he was out for 1. Oh dear. Elsewhere, Fiskerton and Ferguson collected a maximum 20 points after beating Gedlin and Sherwood by 31 runs. Captain Colin Cliff top scoring again with 88 not out. Flinton were home for tea time, not just had tea time there, they went home for tea after bowling Gotham out for 39 in 27 tortuous overs. You thought your game was bad. 39 in 27 overs, and they wonder why people don't watch it. Flinton's reply took 5.3 overs and they won by 10 wickets. It was a local derby at Kelham Road, the home side's second string beating Collingham's third string by 3 wickets. And Bolton seconds beat Beeston at the playing field by 98 runs. Josh Tranter 46 and Matthew Spark 41. And the teams I've not mentioned? Well, Bolton first team had no match scheduled. Farndon's pitch ribbed up to its name, Marsh Lane. And RHP's opponent, Thrumpton, couldn't field a side because allegedly they'd all gone to Lords. So where does this leave us all? In Division A, Collingham remains fourth and Bolton drop a place to seventh. Fiskerton and Ferguson are fourth in Division C, 16 points off a promotion spot, while Farndon's inactive day did them no favours at all as they drop back to the bottom, 13 points off safe day. Here we go. Newark R&M are now a massive 33 points in front of third-placed Beaver, because that's what matters, the third-place club in Division E, surely. Even with dodgy umpiring, they can't blow it. Flinton top F with a 16-point cushion to Burton Joyce in third spot. Caunton are mid-table fifth. Bolton seconds are in relegation trouble in G. Newark R&M's are second in K. What a season that club is having. And RHP are 2 points off a promotion spot in Division L. Once again, impeccable timing. So that was the cricket report, but there was only really one cricket match that the whole of Nottinghamshire was interested in on Saturday, and that was the one at Lords. And Radio Newark sent not faster than any clock down to London for a day out to watch the match. Ernie, you had a cracking day out, and what an innings, and what a result.
Well, what a game anyway, to start with. I mean, from the first ball, when Jason Roy was dropped with a catch that even I could have held, and then they dropped Stoneman on 32, and he goes to make 144, and you think, and then after 10 overs, they were cruising, looked as though they were going to make 350, and then Notts came back, bowled really well, and just kept them down to 297, which was, at that stage, everybody thought 50-50, you know, it's one of those games that could just go either way, and basically strolled Hales to bat. I mean, he was dropped on 9, and it was probably the first shot he'd really middled, and I think it was Pope, if he didn't get his hand to it, it would have probably gone through him, but he hit it that hard. But from then on, I mean, he hit a 4 to bring up the 50, and it was 52 for 1, and he'd got 46 of them, and he was just basically hitting it all around the ground. He kept losing people. A couple of close decisions from the umpires. I think Mullaney edged his onto his pads, but he got given out. But these things happen at cricket. You've just got to carry on. And you can see Hales was getting frustrated. And the feeling round was, it was drifting away from Knox. There was still a chance when Hales was there, but the people thought all round it was drifting away. We were surrounded by a couple, about four or five people from Surrey and two lads from Essex who saw Knox play Essex in the semi-final and thought they were that good. They came to the final. But the turning point was when Chris Reid came in. We all wanted somebody to stay with Hales, you know, because we knew if Hales was there at the end, we'd win. But he didn't just stay with Hales, he matched him. And it basically it took all the pressure off Hales. And his 58 was one of his best innings is done. I know Hales was brilliant and, you know, he knocked the most unlikely record, Geoffrey Boycott.
When I read that, I couldn't believe it.
1965.
Yeah.
I mean, it must have took him that long to get...
I was going to say, he must have batted through.
I know, I mean... People couldn't believe round that it was Geoffrey Boycott's record. Because and it was against Surrey as well, which was quite ironic. But Reid, I mean, from the start he was positive, and I think he kept Hales quite calm, and he was he was matching Hales with the score. So Hales didn't have to do anything more than just play his natural game. But the excitement was mounting all the time. And you thought, you know, if one of these gets out early, we're not going to win. But the atmosphere, there was more Knox fans there than Surrey fans. And the atmosphere was terrific.
I think as much as it's ever going to be remembered as the Alex Hales final, it should probably be remembered as the Chris Reid's final, because this is Chris Reid's last season, and he's been a brilliant servant for Knox. So there is many that would argue that he should have had a lot more England times, but his face didn't seem to fit in the England setup for some reason.
Fletcher and Vaughan didn't like him. I don't know why.
Because he's as good a batsman as what they've ever had in there, and he's certainly a better wicketkeeper than what they've had.
I think his batting was a little bit weak to start with, but he worked and worked on his batting, and then because he was always the best keeper around, and then when his batting was good enough, they didn't pick him. So it's a disappointment for him, but I think he made up for it at Lord's. You know, as I said, the atmosphere was terrific, and you can see on the players' faces how pleased they were for him. I think Alex Hales. Amazing innings that he did. The first thing he said was the way that Reid batted with him, and I mean 134 they put on, and it was.
Well, what was it? 150 for five at one stage.
Yeah, 150 for five.
298 looks an awful long way off, don't it?
Hales have got 114 of those. I mean, I couldn't believe that there wasn't a sixth hit. By Surrey, and the first six was in the third over by Hales. So,
is he?
It was a strange day, but it was so exciting all the time.
Did he hit the bad ball and sort of leave the good ball?
Yes, but
sometimes he's tried to hit everything.
He started. He seemed to be a bit when a couple got out. He flung his bat down a couple of times and he seemed to be quite annoyed. But his choice of shot was excellent. And he started it in the middle of the bat and he never gave them another chance.
Brilliant. Absolutely.
Since the drop, he calmed down and picked every shot.
And that's one trophy in the cabinet. The Division 2 Championship will be the next one.
Yes, and the T20 starts soon.
So...
Just a big quick plug, at Grantham on Wednesday, Knox Seconds are doing a T20 practice game.
All right.
Against Northampton's Steelbacks. and people like Dan Christian and one or two of the first team players will be playing. And that's at Grantham Cricket Club.
Excellent. Well, get along there and have a look. I was just thinking, Nate, you know, people go down to London to be surrounded by Essex girls. You're surrounded by Essex boys.
Yeah, I'm afraid.
Just your luck, isn't it?
Well, they enjoyed it anyway. They said how happy and what a great game it was. So
good stuff. And we're going to talk to you again on Wednesday night when you've got your other hat on.
Yep.
Your not fast hat on, about talking about the not fast 10K, but we'll do that on Wednesday night.
Yes, and if anybody wants to listen to, it's being supported by Radio Newark, and they're going to help us with the announcing, etc., and we'll have a good day there.
We're going to have great fun.
In fact, I'm looking at the entrance now and starting my speech as they go to the finish line.
I'm not going to get a word in edgeways, am I?
You might do.
Anyway, we'll talk to you again on Wednesday night.
Lovely. Thanks,
thanks for joining us.
Cheers.
Thanks. Bye. The wonderful Ernie Clark there talking about it is his day out. This is the time of night when I normally give you the national headlines, but for the next two or three weeks, we're going to do the football transfer windows open since you've been stuck on the Isle of Wight. So we're going to sort of try and bring you up to date with our take on that.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs.
And Manchester United hope to sign Alvaro Montero from Real Madrid within the next 72 hours. Arsenal have signed Leicester's Riyad Mahrez. Italian newspapers are claiming. Nothing's coming out of the Emirates yet, but it's there. Everton actually have announced the signing of Sandro Ramis from Malaga. They're spending some money this year. Big money. John Terry, Tony's mate, has signed for Aston Villa, whose manager Steve Bruce is thought to be chasing Bournemouth's Mark Wilson for their next big signing. And Newcastle, yes, look to sign Florin Lejeune for £8.7 million sometime in the next couple of days. I'll probably be telling you that one all week. Sheffield Wednesday have signed Burnley's George Boyd on a free transfer, and Paris Saint-Germain are thought to want Liverpool's Philip Coutinho. The Scousers have apparently put an £87 million price tag on him.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
And if Philip Coutinho is worth £87 million, the two I'm going to talk to now are priceless. Because they've got real talent. Ben and Anna.
Hello.
Or should I say Anna and Ben? We always say Ben and Anna, don't we? You mind Ben and Anna or Anna and Ben?
No, you're
quite happy which way around it is. I warned you that I'm going to take you right back to January when it was sort of cold and wet and in the middle of the cross-country season, wasn't we? And I've got on my notes that between you, you got a gold and silver medal at the Notts Games in January. Am I right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good start. Dad's thinking about this one.
Counts champ.
Well, I've just put Notts Games. Can you think back to January, what you was doing in January?
Yeah, I remember.
Just hang on, Ben, you've got to... That's it, mate. Well done. Go on.
Yeah, I remember... County schools in February. January... County champs. Yeah, I remember.
County championships.
I got a bronze there. I was bottom, yeah. And Anna was gold in that one.
Because this just explain to everybody this bottom year, because I keep being told bottom year and top year. You go in a 2-year cycle, age group wise. Is that correct?
Yeah, I was in under 15. And because I was 13 back then, I was bottom year. So there were like 14 year olds I was racing against. So basically. There were older and bigger people in that race. So third was like pretty much the best I could.
So 1 year in every two then is effectively starting again time.
Yeah, pretty much.
And the time you come round to that second year, you're the big boy of the class and should have a better second season.
Yeah.
So you set your stall out quite well in the first season. You haven't got a lot of scope to improve, have you? A couple of places only.
Yeah. Pretty much, that's pretty much it.
Do you... I know you both enjoy cross-country. Just you at the moment then, Ben.
Cross country or track?
Track, definitely. I think track's like more about, I feel for me, I just like, I feel like I can just run more freely. Cross country, you could just have a freak fall at the start. Like, I've done that before. I was face planted at the start. Whereas in track, it's obviously you could get tripped up, but almost always it's just about the running, and that's what I like about it, really.
So the cross country that you do, then, is it just to keep fit, just to keep involved, or is there another reason?
Really good cross country runners that are just generally good at just cross country running. But I just as I get further on in running, cross country just becomes more of a fitness thing. I still want to win the county champs and stuff, but it just doesn't matter as much anymore.
On that importance list,
yeah, it's just running like 5Ks and hills and stuff. It just does you the world of good coming back to do 1500s.
When the summer season, the track and field season starts, you're going into it.
Yeah.
Fit.
When you've been doing three times a distance, it feels like a sprint, really. So it just helps a lot.
What do you remember about the cold, awful days of January then, Anna?
Oh, I don't miss them. I think it's hard to say. I think it's been so nice lately, training on the track and competing on the track. You don't really want to go back to the rain and the mud in the cross country season.
Do you think the same as
I
Ben
think
then?
I do prefer track, but I think it does give you, cross country does give you that stamina, and it does help a lot with track. You wouldn't be able to do one and not the other, really, because you need the speed from track, but you need the stamina from cross country. So they do kind of come hand in hand, especially if you're doing middle distance or long distance.
So it does work. It does work for you, but
it does work.
The choice of a sort of a Sunday morning when it's freezing cold and knee deep in mud.
I remember a lot of those.
The only low point of 2017 for you was Wollaton Park, wasn't it? Was that the Nationals?
Yes.
Yeah, the Nationals. And we didn't talk about it particularly at the time because it was upsetting for you, but now it's history.
You can look back at it now. It was just a problem with my inhaler and breathing difficulties that it just didn't go quite to plan, and ended up pulling out after not even, I think, about a kilometre. But then I just sorted things out for the next week into counties, came back the week after, came fourth. So I think I just got a new inhaler, trained, and then just came back, trying not to think about everything that had happened the week before or worry about it. And then I was fine after that.
Because, all the sort of new sport was expecting the inevitable to happen, and it just didn't happen. And I think was all more devastated to find out what went wrong rather than what the results was. Dad, I'll call you Dad because obviously not Dad. that was the downside of the whole year so far, wasn't it? How did you as a family react to a bad day?
I think you're picking a needle out of a haystack, to be honest with you. You've picked on the one thing. I'll be honest with you, it doesn't even cross my mind.
The rest of it's
gone.
That's the thing.
The rest of it's gone.
Typical ruddy journalist, isn't he? You've gone for the one bit of bad news.
I'll
tell you what, let's talk about bad news, shall we? Let's talk about the bad news. So 2 weeks before, she'd become Midland champion. Obviously she was county champion as well. And then, you're right, it was a dip. I think we were concerned, frankly, just putting the racing to one side. You just worry about your kids, and if they've got, if they just run out of puff, obviously as an asthmatic, I'm an asthmatic myself, then you just think, well, that's up to us to get that right. That's our problem. And it was, we needed to just get new inhalers. We needed to sort things out. But sure enough, once we got that sorted out, as she says, next week, into counties, the whole of the UK, and she's finishing fourth, and then English schools, and she's finishing fourth again, and she's qualifying to run for England. So, joking aside, it was just such an exception, and there was such, looking back on it, there was such clear reasons why that didn't work. And frankly, of all of the competitions to go wrong, it couldn't have been a better one to go wrong, because that doesn't lead anywhere. It's just a bit of a fun run for cross-country runners. Don't get me wrong, it's a competitive one, but it's you don't get into any teams through the national. So when Athletics Weekly did their rankings of cross-country runners in the UK for the winter season, Anna was ranked fourth in the whole of the UK. So from their point of view, the national just
didn't matter, did it?
Didn't matter.
And the whole point about this is what's sort of followed for both of you since then. And we did talk about the nationals, and the next little note I've got is the national schools in Wales.
Yeah, the international, the SIAB. That was an incredible experience, actually. I did really enjoy that. Because obviously that was the first time I'd been abroad. Well, not quite abroad, but...
Wales is abroad. In my world.
I went with the team to just go somewhere else that we hadn't been before and go to a new place, run a new course against people that we hadn't really met before, which was a really interesting experience. And I think, obviously, that was my first England best, which was like, I couldn't believe it. And then the weekend after, we were just going to Wales. So it was kind of a surprise, but... definitely a good one.
Most definitely. May arrived, and I've got Notts Championships.
Yeah.
So talk us through that. Was you both at the County Champs?
Yeah, both did the County Champs. Both did 800 and 15 at the County Champs. I think I did 800 on the first day. I just had a straight final. So I didn't have any heats or anything, only one race on the day. I came first in the race. I think I got about 2:10, 5 or 8 or something. I can't remember. But that was a really good race, actually. It's an enjoyable race.
Ben, what's your memories of that day?
Oh, the 800, the 1500 was not great because I should have won that one. I ended up running 4:30. So yeah, that wasn't a great race, but I still got silver, which was like fine. But then the next day I came back and won the 800, which was, that was really good.
So
I think the day after I came back and did the 1500, I won that one in about 4:37, maybe. I think it was something like that. But that was a good race as well, actually. They're both, it's a nice track to run on there. It was at the Derby track, Moorways, which is a really nice track. I don't run there very often, so it was nice to go back there.
So then I've got to June with gold medals again. We're getting up to date a little bit now, so... but by this time, Anna, I'm beginning to get emails from different people telling me that you're 16th in the world at 1500 metres and 11th in the world at 800 metres.
Yeah.
And as somebody not sitting so many feet away from me pointed out, you're only 15.
Yeah. yes, that's the under 18 world rankings.
Did you, I don't know how to put this, did you expect, or how often do you see these world rankings? Because, I mean, you know, we know in the UK rankings what we expect, but world rankings... this is an all new ball game, really.
I think there are a couple of, maybe, I think in the 1500 at the moment, there are a couple of girls from the UK who are about my age. I think they're on about 4:20, so a couple of seconds faster than my PB. But I don't think, it was quite a shock, actually. I didn't even realise that it was on the world rankings. I didn't know what the time was for the world rankings because I kind of assumed, I knew it was under 18 because obviously a lot older than me, so I didn't really expect anything from those.
Again, Jeremy, Dad, it's now we're talking about world rankings. It's as you said, and it is, I mean, to hold Newark so proud, but it is just gone up another couple of divisions, hasn't it, really?
Yeah, it has, and the world rankings become quite important because England Athletics, for example, they want to know that their athletes are going to win medals or stand a chance of winning medals, so they actually look at those world rankings when they're selecting people. So that's how it's suddenly come into our consciousness. So here we are, you know, just going to training and turning up to the county events and all this sort of stuff. And this year it's just gone stratospheric, and suddenly you are having to take notice of UK rankings. I mean, Anna's top of the UK for 800 metres, you know, the whole of the UK, and she's a bottom year under 17. So you look at the UK rankings, but you're right, now we've got to start looking world rankings. We've got to start thinking about how she sits against these other people, and we're already comparing her against people she might be racing against. I don't want to spoil your story.
I think it's absolutely wonderful to be sitting alongside people who are really, really good at their sport. Because when I was 12 at Bradford Grammar School, I ran in a school race at cross country and finished 12th, and I thought, wow, that's incredible. That's amazing. Then you get Ben saying, I didn't go to, well, I only got silver.
Just, you know, oh, I only got silver. Should have won that. We all sort of expected you to be in the team for the Commonwealth Youth Games. There's no reason for you not to be in the team for the Commonwealth Youth Games. What's it like waiting for, I suppose it's an email these days, is it? Or the letter or the email?
It was a phone call.
A phone call, was it? To actually...
They called me.
Tell you, because you know you're good enough. The rankings say you're good enough. But until somebody actually says you're going, you're not going, are you? So what was that time like, waiting?
It was really hard. I mean, the week before, obviously, I ran the time... 3 seconds, almost 3 seconds under the time, and they advised that I went to the under 20 champs, England champs, or the national champs. Obviously, I'm only under 17, and I had to run against the under 20s. And obviously, under 20 is a 3-year age group, so I had people up to 4 years, 4 school years older than me that I had to race against. And I was advised to go there. And even the week before I'd done that, I had to fill in paperwork just in case I got in. And it was kind of like, it did kind of scare you, because it made you think, oh, I really need to do well. And I think coming up to the time, I was doubting, and I did kind of have doubts. I wasn't really sure, because I thought, well, I'm a bit young. I'm quite young. I'm not really right up there. I'm not in year 11 or 12, which are people that they're more likely to pick. Because I was only just in the age range, so I didn't think I'd get selected for it, to be honest.
Ben, what was she like to live with while she was waiting for this phone call to come?
Well, to be honest, she was in denial, really. She thought, I don't know if she genuinely thought it, but basically for the couple of days before, probably for her own sanity, she just said, I'm not going to get in.
I love him.
She said, I'm not going to get in. So obviously it probably mentally prepared her, kind of like, obviously you don't want to just get really hyped about it, do you? And then get a phone call saying you're not going. So she was kind of like, I could tell she was like really nervous about it, but she just kind of prepared for the worst. And so in the end it worked out, and she was really happy with it.
A big sort of scream go out, did it, or?
No, not really. I was sat on the sofa, because we were all anticipating a phone call. I think it was on Thursday night. Was it on Thursday night?
It was
on Wednesday. And I could hear her on the phone, and I knew it was a phone call, and I could hear her going like, oh yeah, I understand. So I thought she hadn't got it, and then she didn't really do that much, but she kind of just, in the end, she just ran downstairs and said, I got in.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. We'll be back with these two in a few minutes. To the phones and to a great friend of ours, and we're still talking about running, Peter Davies is with us now. Peter, good evening.
Good evening, Mick. Nice to hear you again.
Busy night for you tomorrow night. Tell us all about it.
Well, what we've arranged is an informal 5-kilometre handicap. And a handicap's a bit different from a normal race, because we get the times of the slowest runners and they set off first. And they get caught up slowly around the course. So theoretically, if everyone's given an accurate time, they should all finish together.
Are you in charge of the timings?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sure they will, then.
Not everyone always tells the truth, but... And also, what we've arranged is a fun run for the village of Farndon and for the younger family members of the clubs.
Oh, lovely.
So we've got that going at 6 o'clock. We've got some medals because we've got some sponsorship from Farndon Parish Council and the Village Hall that's opening up for us. And the cricket club are opening the bar as well for tomorrow night.
Even better, Tony Smith be there then.
Yeah.
So what time, where do people go, and can anybody just turn up and enter?
They can come along and watch. It's going to be at Farndon Park. The fun run, which is mainly for children, obviously, will start at 6 o'clock. The 7 o'clock 5K is just really for the four clubs from Newark.
Okay.
Yeah, but they will get quite a spectacle there as well. And we've also got some local Morris dancers for entertainment.
Now, that's more like Tony Smith's.
Yeah. I was advising the runners to actually do the warm-up with the Morris dancers before they set off.
So the sun's going to shine. It's going to be a good night.
I hope so.
Excellent stuff. Well, so if anybody wants to go down there, if you're connected to the four Newark clubs, get yourself down there and have a run.
I said, just turn up and have some fun.
Exactly.
Yeah, and the run is lovely. It's around the River Trent from Farndon.
All right, what's the course then?
It's along the Old Foss Road on the footpath, down to the River Trent, down Long Lane, right round the river by the power station, back to the two pubs on the Trent riverside, and then back into the park again.
Very good. That sounds like a very pleasant way of spending an evening.
It is, and it will be. It is.
If you want to go down there, go down and see Peter and the gang tomorrow night at Farndon, have a bit of a run round, and enjoy yourselves.
You'll be very welcome.
Lovely. Peter, I hope they all enjoy it, and I'm sure they will, and we'll catch up with you very soon.
Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Peter.
Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Peter Davis there. Half-marathon guru from last year. He's running it this year, but we're going to talk... lots of half marathons. That's only about 6 weeks away. Don't time come fly. Okay, Anna, we're up to date. What happens between now and August running wise, or are you now sort of on the England books and you've got to do what they're telling you to do?
I've got a couple of weeks of training and I'm not competing until the Commonwealth Youth Games. That is my next competition. It's obviously probably my biggest competition. Well, it's my biggest competition coming up. And
what are you running? Are you running 8 and 15?
I'm running just 15.
Just running 15?
Yeah.
Because last time we spoke, you hadn't really made your mind up what you wanted to do, 8 or 15.
No, I mean, I'm kind of trying to make it a bit half and half this season because I'm enjoying both of them. But I think, I got the time for 15, 100 before I got the time for 800 and I didn't get the 800 time in time before the selection, so
you're doing the 15.
I'm doing the 15.
And do they send you a training schedule now then, or
no, we haven't. I've got training and then we have to stay over in London a night, then we fly down, we have a day of kind of acclimatisation, and then we've got a couple of days of training and then I'm racing, and then after that I've got few days just to do whatever I want, really.
Very nice. And you know some of the people that's you're going out there with, don't you?
Sort of
you said that earlier on, yeah.
Doing 800 and 3,000, things like that.
So you're not on your own, are you? You've got some friends there. That could be quite nice. Ben, have you made your mind up whether you're going to be a 800 metre, a 1500 metre, or a cross country specialist? don't think it's the latter.
Well, I can't. Well, to be honest, I can't decide anything right now because I have no idea. I mean, I might suddenly get a load of speed and just think, oh, I'm going to do 800. 15, I mean, when I get older, 15 will kind of be like 800 is now. Because obviously 800 now is like a middle distance event and it's still pretty far for most people. But by the time you're like 17, 18 or something, 1500 metres is going to be like, it's going to be really quick. So that's going to be like the longer sprint, really.
And what have you got coming up over the next few weeks?
I've got a Charmwood Open where I'm going to try and run a time. So if I run a good time, I'll be able to get like good rankings in the UK. And I've got another Watford race. So the next two races are just timed races. It's just to try and get a time. And then I've got Midlands and England Champs coming up. So they're the big, like, championship races that I'd like to do well in.
Okay, and our correspondent for all things Family Smith's going to keep us informed, so I can keep the rest of Newark informed on that one. Dad, you've got the pleasure of going out to the West Indies to be there. A bit of family sport. Ben's going to stop at home and look after little sister. It's an interesting time for the family, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. We're getting split all over the place. There's my little one's going to be doing a dance show at the Newark Theatre. So we've got that. So she's all into her ballet and everything. And Ben's got his opens. And as you say, Anna's over in the Bahamas. And sometimes I see my wife. You know, we bump into each other. You know, we just we have the odd call. You know, FaceTime's good. We're spread all over the place. There's the logistics of how many kids have you got? Yeah, you see, three kids. I tell you, it is a challenge. It is a challenge.
One mum and two grandchildren, and that's some hard work. Very hard work at times. That's the mum, not the grandchildren.
That was very good radio, Mick, putting your finger up.
Yeah. Well, it's better than saying what I was going to say. Anna, we obviously, the whole of Newark wishes you all the best out there, and we're sending Dad out there so he can send us updates on what's going off, so we can keep everybody informed as well. What day is your race?
On the 20th.
The 20th.
Of July.
Of July.
It's the 20th of July, but in actual fact, because of the time difference...
It's quite late at night.
It's going to be 7:30
well,
midnight.
You're going to keep us informed, aren't you? So
I'm racing at 7:30 Bahamas time.
Right.
That's about 12:30 here.
Another late night, but we're stopping up for... Thank you, both of you. Thank you for bringing them, Dad.
Thank you.
Absolute stars to start you back off your holiday, Tony. A couple of wonderful, wonderful children.
It's been an absolute pleasure.
They're not children, they're adults. Tomorrow night, the other end of the scale. I've got a footballing legend for you, a Newark legend. Tell you about it tomorrow.